योगेन चित्तस्य पदेन वाचाम् मलम् शरीरस्य च वैद्यकेन योपाकरोत्तम् प्रवरम् मुनीनाम् पतञ्जलिम् प्राञ्जलिरानतोऽस्मि.
पतञ्जलि इस् टेलिङ्ग् अस् हौ ए स्पिरिचुवल् एस्पैरेण्ट् is going to progress from a lower state to a higher state. This is the main reason why he is enumerating all these changes. We all experience changes, that is nothing new. But do we evolve? Yes, we all evolve, albeit slowly. Can we hasten this process? Definitely we can do that. And that's what is called spiritual practice. So many classes we have been discussing the changes that take place. It is for this reason. So that we are aware, first, that changes are taking place, and that also leads to what is called vairagya. From the Vedantic point of view, recognition that everything changes excepting one is itself a great spiritual progress. In fact, according to the teachings of Buddha, it is the emphasis on this changefulness which is the very foundation of Buddhism. Everything changes. You are happy, yes, that will change. You are unhappy, that will change. You are young, that will change. You are old, that also will change. But I don't mean from old age you become young person. In a way, yes. In the next life, once we are aware of changefulness, the change that takes place in our mind is that nothing can be relied upon. We cannot depend upon anything. If we really understand everything is changing, and there is only one thing which never changes, and that is, call it God, call it Brahman, whatever name you want to do. Now, what is the point of it? Or somebody comes and declares to you, I love you very much. Naturally, we all feel very happy. At least somebody is loving us. How long are you going to love me? Or first you say, how much do you love me? So, this bit. How long are you going to love me? Maybe for 1 minute. Maximum, I can promise you, 1 minute. Now, when you come across this kind of declaration, what would be your reaction to that person? What's our problem now? Our problem is we think, many problems are there. One problem is we think everybody loves us. What is the fact? Nobody loves. And this is what the scriptures are telling. Nobody loves anybody excepting themselves. So that's why according to Vedanta, the very foundation of Vedanta is that there are only two things every one of us love. How many? Two things. What is it? First, we love happiness. We want to be happy. Sukham. Then, the second thing we love is Sukha Sadhana, an instrument which gives us happiness. You want to eat Rasagulla. Imagine, Rasagulla is asking, do you love me? Definitely I love you. And so what do? Destroy it. If you love a Rasagulla, what is the next thing you do? But there is also a great Vedantic truth there. You do not want separation, duality. You want absolute oneness. You want to become one. That's a wonderful concept. I am not going to enter into that. What we are trying to discuss here, the first condition for spiritual progress is the awareness that everything is changing. Sarvam dukkhamayam. Everything is a source of unhappiness. Why? Because it is changing. That's why I give that simple example. If your husband promises you that I love you forever and forever, or you think like that, but in fact he says I will love you only for my sake. I love my own happiness and I love you hoping, expecting that you give me love, happiness. The moment you stop giving happiness, he will look for some other object. But an intelligent person comes to a conclusion, every object in this world is changing. Is there anything that is not changing? Yes, there is one object which is not changing. That call it God, call it Brahman, call it Divine Mother, call it one's own self. This is the stark truth. And the Upanishads expound this idea all the time. That's why Sri Ramakrishna's third commandment. Now and then go into solitude. This is a very diluted, pale English translation. The word he used in Bengali is so profound, so meaningful. Nirjana sthan. Nirjana. Jana means people. Nirjana means where there are no people. What does that mean? You take a smartphone and go to a place where no one is there. In fact, something very interesting you should be aware. Nowadays, people want loneliness. They don't want anybody to disturb their mobile phone, and etc. So going to a solitary place where there is nobody with a mobile phone, what are you carrying? The whole world we are carrying. Suppose there is no mobile phone. What do you carry? What do you carry? The whole universe. Because it's our, wherever we go, our mind is there. But what does Ramakrishna mean? Nirjanasthan means do not depend upon anybody, anything. That's what exactly what it means. Nirjanasthan means feel that you are alone in this world and really nobody can help you. In fact, even now they can't help you. Suppose, you know, you cannot fall asleep. Can your husband sleep for you? Can he eat for you? Can he digest for you? Can he worry for you? You see, there is a limit how much other people can help. Perhaps they can cook for you. They can make things for you. But we have to enjoy, we have to suffer, we have to do everything. That's what Sri Ramakrishna really means. We have been discussing about these changes. In brief, what we had discussed, and we will summarize again at the end of this class, is that there are three types of changes take place. The summarization is, at any given time, according to Patanjali, our mind would be in one of the five states. What are they? Mudha, Kshipta, Vikshipta, Ekagra and Nirodha. What it means really, very dull state of mind to a highly concentrated mind, focused mind. These are divided into five stages. What is the purpose? Recognize for what your mind is and slowly take it from that state to a higher state. How this change takes place? In three stages. This evolution of the scatteredness of our mind from the mudha, mudha means very dull state, to the highest state, it takes place in three stages. What are those three stages? Nirodha parinama, samadhi parinama, ekagra parinama. And that's what we are going to discuss. Aphorism number 6 is we are studying the third chapter of the Patanjali Yoga Sutras called Vibhuti Yoga. Vibhuti means powers, siddhis. Patanjali promises that if we practice yoga, we get lots of powers too. But that's not the purpose of this practice. The purpose is to become a siddha. Siddha means perfect. Not having powers. If we have powers, then do we become siddha or asiddha? Or prasiddha. You may become prasiddha. You may become asiddha. But now you become a siddha. What is to be siddha? To be perfect. What is perfection? I am absolutely happy. I am absolutely free from any desire. That is called siddha. Aphorism number 9. At a very high state, when we have practiced all those yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, and we have come to the 8th step, the almost the ultimate step. But I said, it is not ultimate, it is penultimate. One step below. Last class I think I mentioned that actually though it is called Ashtanga Yoga, Navanga Yoga. Why? Samadhi is divided into lower samadhi and higher samadhi. Lower samadhi is called sampragnata samadhi and higher samadhi is called asampragnata samadhi. Now when a yogi, a spiritual practitioner, reaches this state, and how does he reach that state? That is what is being described. In our normal day-to-day life, what happens is, we give in to our vrittis. Any type of thought that comes, we conquer. We say, okay, not conquer, conquer. That means we say, yes. That is called conquering, accepting and say, yes, you get up, yes, I get up. Sit down, you sit down. Whatever the mind says, obey it. This is our condition, present condition. We want to become yogis. What is yoga? Chitta, vritti, nirodha. That means what? Whatever you say. I will say no. I will dictate to you what I want you to think to do. You will not dictate. Yes, all these janmas you have dictated. But now I am not going to do. I am not going to accept. So the ninth aphorism starts with that. Vyutthana nirodha samskarayo abhibhava pradurbhavo nirodha kshana chitta anvayo nirodha parinamaha. At the higher level, what is that change that takes place in the mind of a yogi? And this is what Patanjali is telling. What is this change that takes place? Nirodha samskaras stay in the mind. Nirodha vrittis stay in the mind. What is Nirodha? I am explaining because this is a very involved, long Sanskrit sentence. And, you know, an aphorism need not have any subject involved. Inside there is a subject. It is not a complete sentence. Just like, you know, yoga chitta vritti nirodha. Yoga, control of the mind. Who is the subject? And how is he going to do it? When is he going to do it? Where is he going to do it? Nothing is there. Just simply this much. These are called aphorisms, sutra. Why this came? Very interesting. A sutra literature, a class of literature, Dharma Sutra, Yoga Sutra, Brahma Sutra, Mimamsa Sutra, so many sutras are there. So there used to be a teacher who was a great soul and he will have disciples. And in those days, there were no writing materials. So he would explain the whole thing and give a few words as a mnemonics. You know what is mnemonic? The way how to memorize. Sutra literature came into existence. A guru explains to his disciples very thoroughly, but wants him to remember. A sutra means a thread, like a password. It will be always there. So the moment you remember that password, you remember the whole thing will come up. It is kept underground. This is how the sutra literature, a special type of literature in every field, has come up so that the learning can be not compressed, but it is kept in the background, but giving just outlines, you know, outlining, we call it in English literature. This outlining method has been there. This sutra is an involved sutra. What it means is, simply it is this. An undesirable thought. Undesirable for whom? Not for everybody. I want to think of a woman. Is it undesirable? It is undesirable for whom? I want to think of money. It is undesirable for whom? For a person who wants money, it is very desirable. But for a person who doesn't want, who wants to get rid of that, it's very undesirable. As soon as an undesirable thought arises, then the opposite thought had to be brought in. Now, this is a dangerous thought. It is an undesirable thought. Let me not think about it. The first thought is a thought which needs to be gotten rid of. The second thought is like a thorn which removes the first thorn. That's what is said. Vyutthana means arising of undesirable vrittis, thoughts. Then, nirodha. Nirodha means the thought which is opposite to it, which we want to cultivate in order to get rid of that thought. Mind you always, Ramakrishna's words are so deep. If a thorn enters into your flesh, what do you do? Take up another thorn, remove the first thorn and then throw away the second one. Don't cherish. Oh, I'm so grateful to you. You have helped me so much. So I will enthrone you in the place of the first thought. No, you will have to throw that away, because that becomes even worse thorn than before. As soon as we have developed that capacity to resist an undesirable thought, then a desirable thought comes. When a desirable thought comes, what is desirable thought? A desirable thought is one which helps us to get rid of the undesirable thought. After that, it itself turns into an undesirable thought. We have to always remember, however wonderful it is, ungodly thoughts should be removed with the help of godly thoughts. And later on, even the godly thoughts have to be gotten rid of. Why? Because they are thoughts. And every thought, however it is, whatever thought it is a thorn. It's not a thorn for us. It is a thorn for those who want to become one with God. Anything that separates us from God is an undesirable thought. That is what Patanjali is trying to tell us. The moment one undesirable thought comes, vyutthana means arising, nirodha, that which controls, suppresses, tries to remove that undesirable thought, then both produce samskara. So for many lives, oh, it's wonderful to enjoy, to get married, to enjoy money, what Sri Ramakrishna calls kama and kanchana. It is wonderful to have one very big house, very comfortable house, nice car, friends, power, position, etc., etc. This we have been cherishing, and they pose no problem at all for us, because that's what we wanted. But now they are posing the biggest problem. I want to think of God, something else comes. So what happens? This produced, these so-called undesirable thoughts produced a tremendous samskara. What is samskara? A deep-rooted thorn, very deep-rooted thorn. Now we realize we have developed it. We have to remove it. What is the remedy? Now you develop the another deep-rooted samskara of the opposite type. In other words, spiritual thought. A worldly thought versus a spiritual thought. Now what happened? This competition, this wants to rise. Then deliberately, with mindfulness, with persistence, with prayer, you develop, slowly develop. Then a time will come. First, the positive thoughts, godly thoughts, get defeated. This is what is called Deva Asura Yuddha. Everywhere you get Deva Asura Yuddha. The battle between gods and demons. Undesirable, worldly, secular thoughts. Who are the Devas? Those thoughts which are spiritual, simply. This is the fight that is going on. Wonderful subject to discuss. Bhagavatam is a beautiful story of the Samudra Manthana. You know, Samudra Manthana, churning of the milk ocean. Lot of things came. I will not go into that story at this stage. What is meant is, constantly this fight is going on within each one of us. But when we have not turned to spirituality, still the battle is going on, but that battle is not between Devas and Asuras. The battle is between what is called lower ambitions and higher ambitions. Very interesting. Lower ambitions and higher ambitions. What is lower ambition? You know, I am getting so much salary. I am quite happy. Other fellow, you stupid fellow, have you seen? The neighbor has extended his house. What are you doing? Somebody is there to remind you. And the other fellow has got better car than you. Let's say he has got two cars. Battle is going on. But as soon as a person becomes slightly spiritual, then the real battle starts. At the beginning, the samskara, the deep-rooted habits of spiritual thoughts is very weak. That's why go on doing it. How many times? How many lives? In the Bhagavad Gita, if there is this beautiful, Sri Krishna's answer is there, Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. Bahunam janmanam ante. After many lives. How many lives? Somebody asked. How many lives? One of our direct disciples, I think, answered, maybe 1 million lives. What? I have come to spiritual life, already I am struggling so much. How much? The moment you think in that way, but what million lives? I thought 2-3 lives is okay. But a million lives? Now that's the point, is not how many lives. The point is whether you are impatient. You are patient, you want it, or you are impatient. If you are not patient, what do you think you will become? Patient. Remember Ramakrishna's story? Two yogis were sitting. But what is the deep meaning of that? It is not how many lives it takes. A yogi says, even if it takes infinite time, I am going to do it. That attitude of the mind, this is the most desirable thing. I have no choice whether I get it this life, next life, or after billion lives. I have no choice. I will go on. So this there is a beautiful story. I cannot refrain myself telling it. How, what, or what type of mental attitude a spiritual aspirant should have? There were two small birds, small partridges or whatever you call it, sparrows, you can say sparrows. And they laid one egg on the banks of an ocean. So unfortunately one day the tide came, and then when the parents were absent, and then the egg was taken away. When the parents returned back, then they realized their beloved child, only child, is swept away. They wanted to rescue. So what were they doing? Forgetting eating and sleeping, they were going, dipping themselves in the waters, come out to the shore and flutter the wings, and then the water go away again. Day after day, they were doing it. They were determined, if we don't get our child, we are going to die, but we are not going to stop. You can just imagine what a beautiful story. It's two small birds want to dry up the ocean with their puny efforts. So one day, the king of the birds, who is Garudman, he happened to pass by and he saw these two birds. He was astonished. So he came and asked, what are you chaps doing? And the birds narrated, this is what happened. And Garudman felt so proud. My people, this ocean has taken away. So, you know, he's the Vahana of Lord Vishnu. With one sweep, the whole water was pushed out. And his parents happily went and found out the egg and came. This is the story. What is the moral behind this story? That is, this is called Bhagiratha Prayatna, we call it. Like Bhagiratha, he was prepared to die rather than stop bringing Ganga from the Mount Himalayas to the Netherlands. Patala, you know, because his ancestors were turned into ashes. It's called Bhagiratha Prayatna. That's why Ganges is called Bhagirathi. The point of the story is, if a person persists in self-effort without giving up hope, ready to renounce, to give up the life, then who is the Garudman? God's grace will come. Garudman did not simply happen to pass accidentally, don't have that idea. Supposing he took another route and he did not pass that way. No, he would have to come there because their prayers and their efforts had borne fruit. This is the karma phala. So we have to think we are going to dry up the ocean. Only when a sadhaka has that kind of attitude, then he will succeed. So we have to build up that opposite thought, spiritual thought. How long? Until the balance is tipped over, the spiritual samskaras are able to completely suppress. That is what is being explained in this 9th aphorism. Vyutthana nirodha samskaras. Undesirable thoughts are arising, and desirable means spiritual thoughts try to get up and suppress them. When the spiritual thoughts become deep-rooted and are able to tip over, he says, you fellow, I am going to suppress with my hand. That is called nirodhakshana. Abhibhava pradurbhavau nirodhakshana chitta anvayo. When the mind is capable of suppressing the undesirable thought, so long as it is able to suppress that undesirable thought, that time period is called nirodhakshana. The time where the undesirable thought does not come at all. That is called Nirodha Parinamaha, the change that takes place. Parinama means change. Nirodha Parinama means the bigger thorns, the desirable thoughts become so strong, they are able to easily suppress and put away the undesirable thoughts. And so long as we can do it, that is called Nirodha Kshana. Kshana means time period. How long? So long as this Nirodha works. How wonderfully Patanjali is giving us a hint, simply sitting and what type of japa you are doing, Rama Rama, Krishna Krishna you are going and doing. But are you also getting up, developing the Nirodha Samskara? That's what is most important. What happened next to aphorism? Tasya prashantavahita samskarat. Samskarat means by repeated practice, a samskara. You understand samskara? A tendency. What is a tendency? To repeat an action, consciously or unconsciously, that is called samskara. Supposing you are walking and some slippery pathway is there and your foot tries to slip. You know what do you do? What do you do? You put up your hand automatically so that even if you happen to fall, that fall is stemmed and the impact is lessened. Samskara. You can extend these examples. You are driving a car. Suddenly something darts in front of your car. What do you do? Automatically your foot goes and then puts it. How did it come? You must have developed it for a long time. If you did not develop it, what happens? I will be very careful and nothing is going to happen. It's a foolish attitude. Why? Because you see, you may be okay, but that doesn't guarantee somebody else is okay. It could be a dog, it could be a child. How many people lose? These are called accidents. It could be our fault, but it need not be our fault. It could be the other person's fault. Whatever it is, this what we are trying to do, this samskara. I am trying to illustrate what is a samskara. Instinctively, even unthinkingly, mechanically, we develop that tendency. The moment a thought arises, which we recognize, this is not a desirable thought, instantaneously, the other one. I will illustrate it. What happens? It happens to every spiritual aspirant. Okay, in your waking state, you don't think anything undesirable. But the deep-rooted samskaras are there. I am narrating one of my dreams. I don't remember 100%, about 50% I remember. Some undesirable thought had come. So, immediately, the other part of my mind arises, no, Sri Ramakrishna would have behaved like this, in this instance. After waking up, I recollect, oh, not bad. Even in dream, yes, I could do that. But how did it come? Do you think that you just read the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna and go to sleep and then it will come? No, it will not come. Waking state, whatever we do, that becomes a samskara. We should always remember, in the dream state itself doesn't produce any samskara. Dream itself, the result of waking state, samskara. So whatever we do in the waking state, that will come up. Another example is, do you really dream of gods and goddesses? Do you dream of Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, Swami Vivekananda, direct disciples, your Gurudeva? How many times do you remember? And if you don't, then try to remember. It is far better to at least to see a sadhu, a temple, or a holy place. These are very good things to do it. And if we are not getting the dreams, what does that mean? That means the samskara is not developed. We know that it's a dream, but it doesn't matter. Even in dream, if we have these good things, then what does it mean? It means two things. It means during waking state, we are practicing. And it means also, slowly, our subconscious mind undergoing a change for the better. That's what it means. The 10th verse is, tasya means of that state of the mind. Earlier what we said, a Nirodha Samskara comes, suppresses the undesirable Samskara and dominates it and stays for some time. And that Samskara, which dominates, which suppresses, must be enforced and strengthened through further practice, until what happened? Prashanta Vahita. It flows, that Nirodha Samskara stays longer and longer and longer and longer. That means the undesirable thoughts will have no place because it has become a habit. Again, I am bringing back the example. Ramakrishna had a vision. He saw a Paramahamsa resembling exactly like him with a trident. And then he says, if your mind strays from the lotus feet of the Divine Mother, I am going to pierce you with that. I discussed this. Who is that Paramahamsa? His own mind. His own Nirodha Samskara. You get it? Nirodha Samskara has taken the form of this sannyasi, Swami Vivekananda. When he was younger, he used to go to bed. What were the visions he were having? That first of all, he was a very prosperous, powerful, worldly person. And next moment, a clean-shaved, a monk. And with that idea, he used to go to sleep. What were the first vision? What samskara? Worldly samskara. What is the second samskara? Nirodha samskara. I don't want that. I want this. And that's what he became. In fact, every successful person is one whose samskara has shaped itself into the idea of success. Psychology is so interesting because they fall in line with what we are trying to reach. Here, you have to understand one important principle. We are not talking about the goals. We are talking about the means. So the means is mind. So whether a powerful mind will be a powerful mind, whether he is a businessman or a scientist or a teacher or a farmer. This is the simple truth. And two mosquitoes also. One is a successful mosquito. Another is a failure mosquito. This happens because of the samskaras. Even there also there are differences are there. One samskara becomes very, very powerful. And that has to continue. That has to continue. And that's what is being told in this tenth. Tasya means of that mind in that state of Nirodha, where it was able to suppress the undesirable thought, samskarat, by repeatedly practicing it, prashanta vahita. You understand, vahita means flowing. Prashanta means steadily flowing. That means the mind, the Nirodha samskaras in that mind flow steadfastly without any interruption. And how do they do that? Samskarat. Through repeated practice. Abhyasa vairagya abhyam tan nirodha. Where do you get it? Bhagavad Gita, 6th chapter, gets it. The 11th is the second parinama. Until now, we talked about nirodha parinama. What is nirodha? One powerful, desirable samskara suppresses the undesirable samskara and becomes dominant and continues. This is the first change that takes place in a yogi's mind. What is the second change? Sarvarthata ekagratayoho kshaya udayau chittasya samadhi parinamaha. Again, same idea is, what is the nature of the mind? Grasping sarvarthata means except the mind, a scattered mind. What is the mind? So, what is your name? Oh, your Avi is your uncle. Mm-hmm. So, this mosquito is what? This is what our mind is going all the time, even without our knowledge. This is called Sarva Arthata, means grasping everything. That means many, many thoughts. Uncontrollable thoughts, many thoughts. That is the initial nature of our mind. Kshipta. Then what happens? Ekagratayoho. Slowly the mind becomes more focused, dharana. It becomes dharana. Then it becomes dhyana. Then it becomes samadhi. Less focused, much more focused. That is called samadhi parinama. What is samadhi parinama? By practicing nirodha samskara, the capacity of the mind to think of so many things, which was its habit previously, now slowly it becomes ekagra. Sri Ramakrishna's mind was always like that. Swami Vivekananda's mind was always like that. I'll narrate an incident. You see, whatever Swami Vivekananda does, his full mind is occupied in it. When he sings, his mind is fully merged. immersed in it. When he reads a book, he is fully immersed. When he listens something, he is fully immersed. When he meditates, of course, you need not even tell. One incident happened. Swami Vivekananda was staying here in England. One German philosopher, Paul Deussen. So what happened? Swamiji visited Paul Deussen's house at his invitation. And what happened? They were having a talk, all philosophical talks. And he was a great Oriental scholar. He wrote so many books on Indian philosophy, Paul Deussen and Max Muller. These are the two important scholars. So what happened is Paul Deussen, after having a talk, he went inside probably to do something, the kitchen or toilet or whatever it is. After some time he came. Meanwhile, all this time Swamiji was talking. Swami, now that the host was not there, Swami Vivekananda went to, and this man had an extensive collection of books, naturally. So Swamiji was browsing and he caught hold of one particular book and he was reading it. Meanwhile, Paul Deussen came and he wanted to continue the conversation and he called Swamiji. Few times he called, no response at all. He got offended because this is terrible, what is called uncivility. He is the host and Swamiji was the guest. And this man was not replying to what the host was asking. And he was senior also to Swamiji. Swamiji was a young man at that time and such a great scholar. He got offended, but he could not do anything. After some time, Swamiji's concentration broke and then he turned, oh, you are asking something? He said, yes, I am asking something. And why did you not reply? He was annoyed. And then Swamiji replied, when I do anything like this, I am completely absorbed. I am oblivious of time, space, everything. So I did not hear, I did not notice when you came, what you were asking, I am absorbed. Paul Deussen was not convinced. So, is your mind really so much focused? Yes. How do you know? He said, here is a book I am reading. This much I read. Now, you know how fast Swamiji can read? Chapters. At one glance, one chapter. And then Paul Deussen could not believe because he had never come across a man who could be so absorbed. That is the difference between being a great scholar and a great yogi. He asked Swamiji. And then he found out, how do we know? Maybe Swamiji had read this book previously. He remembered, no, this is a book which was published for the first time just few days back and Paul Deussen happened to get it. And he asked questions. Swamiji not only gave the answer, but quoted verbatim what was written there. And this happened also in Meerut with Encyclopedia of Britannica. Then Paul Deussen has nothing to say because he had never come across in his life a person who could be absorbed. We also become absorbed. You know, there are two types of absorbing. That's why Shambhu Malik said, Sri Ramakrishna made a statement, when I am eating, I am sometimes not aware of what I am eating. Shambhu Malik said, sir, my condition also is like that. He said, these are not, you are absorbed in worry, I am absorbed in God. This is the difference. Yes, you also sometimes, you know, very funny things happen. Ramakrishna wanted the power of attorney from Girish Chandra Ghosh. Before that, what happened? Girish, you think of God morning and evening. He said, no, sir, I am not aware what is morning and what is evening. Or at least you take God's name just before you take food. He said, it so happened so many times, I ate food, was not aware what I was eating. Because he was in that intoxicated state, not God intoxicated state, wine intoxicated state, worry. So we can also be absorbed. But that is, first of all, it is not God absorption. And secondly, it is a passive absorption. I spoke extensively on these two types of life, active life and passive life. You are watching a beautiful movie, or you are reading a very absorbing page-turner book, you are absorbed, really, time passes. But what is the cause? Are you absorbed? Are you made to get absorbed? It's called passive. Some other force other than you, it is out of your control. That's what is happening. The 11th, this one says, what is samadhi parinama? That the tendency of the mind to get scattered becomes less. The tendency of the mind to focus, to concentrate, to think of only one thought becomes slowly, time after time. It becomes so strong that it develops, what is that Parinama, named as when the mind becomes absorbed in thinking about spiritual thought, God thought, and doesn't deviate from it, it is given a technical name. What is that name? Samadhi Parinamaha. Samadhi Parinamaha. Taking in all sorts of objects and concentrating upon one object, these two powers being destroyed and manifested respectively, the chitta gets the modification called samadhi, modification, parinama. The mind is taking up various objects, running into all sorts of things, and then there is a higher state of the mind when it takes up only one object to the exclusion of every other object. Samadhi is the result of that. What samadhi you are talking about? Only less than samprajnata samadhi, not even samprajnata samadhi. Then number 12th sutra is really, tataha punaha shanta uditau tulya pratyayau chittasya ekagrata parinamaha. The third, last change. What is that? It is called, what is the name? Ekagrata parinam. Ekagrata means absolute absorption. Earlier what he said? Samadhi. What is he telling now? Ekagrata. What is this ekagrata? When this tendency of the mind to think, to concentrate only upon one particular vritti, is a technical name, vritti means thought, that is God thought, spiritual thought, becomes a habit, then what happens? That ultimate state where it never breaks into many other thoughts, that is called ekagrata parinama. It's a beautiful aphorism. What it says? Tataha punaha, after attaining samadhi parinama, tataha after that, punaha again, shanta uditau tulya pratyayau. Tulya pratyaya. Pratyaya means a thought. Tulya means same thought. Same thought, it arises, it subsides, it arises. No other thought is arising. What is the other state? I am thinking about a table. I am thinking about a microphone. I am thinking about a lamp. These are all separate thoughts. But in ekagrata, what happens? Same thought. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Same thought is coming and subsiding. Coming and subsiding. Arising, subsiding. Arising, subsiding. Arising, subsiding. Goes on and on and on. And that is called chittasya ekagrata parinamaha. Ekagrata parinama. This is the highest type of this thing. So why is telling? Usually in our understanding, samadhi is supposed to be the highest. And we use this word samadhi very loosely. In samadhi also, first of all, there is a distinction. What is the distinction? There are two types of samadhi. In fact, I can get a cat samadhi also is there. You know what is a cat samadhi? When a cat espied a rat or a mouse and sitting outside the hole of the rat, you know, have you seen? Documentaries, the what is called tigers and lions, how they, before they jump, absolutely, you know, how they move. Even it is said, the paw, it doesn't make, because those animals, they are so acutely, some small sound, and they fly away, they know. That's why these fellows go so slowly, it's so interesting. I'm sure you have seen that. Focus on that. And say, where do you think their attention is? And then they start running. You must have seen that. They have not going in search of various prey. They have what is called focused on one particular prey. Even though there are so many other things which they can overcome, their attention is on that particular one. So many times I am surprised, because side by side another animal is running. They can just put their paw like that. No, they are fixated on that particular object, goal. That is the animal we want. What is that called? That is also called samadhi parinama. As an example, I am not talking about that. I am talking about what is called samprajnata samadhi and asamprajnata samadhi. This samadhi, lower samadhi parinama, is lower. It is higher in comparison to other concentrations. But it is lower compared to the higher samadhis. So here ekagrata becomes absolutely same, and that is what Sri Ramakrishna, Vedantic language we call Brahma Akara Vritti. Krishna Akara Vritti. Kalika Akara Vritti, etc. This is the third change that takes place, and each change is better than the other change. So in total, how many changes are there? Three. Nirodha, change. Samadhi, parinama, second. Higher than that is ekagrata, parinama. The one-pointedness of chitta is when it grasps in one the past and the present. A bit involved language, technical language. What it means is, what was the past thought? God. What is the present thought? God. Well, let me put it this way. What was your thought 5 seconds back? God. What was your thought 4 seconds back? God. What was your thought 3 seconds back? God. 2 seconds back? God. And 1 second back? God. And now? God. Next second? God. Next second? God. Means same thing like a wave. It comes and it goes and it comes. But it is the exactly the same thought. And that is called ekagrata parinamaha. Etena bhutendriyeshu dharma lakshana avastha parinamaha vyakhyata. We have completed our explanation of these three types of changes. And what is the point? The point is, life is a series of changes, whether we are worldly people or spiritual people. What is our goal now? To become spiritual. And if we want to become spiritual, we have to bring about a change. How do we bring about a change? That first it will be a small amount of concentration. Then it will be more amount of concentration. This is one side of the story. What is the other side? It is not only ekagrata, concentration. It is first of all get rid of the undesirable samskaras, replace them with desirable samskaras. That is called nirodha parinama. Then afterwards, the desirable samskaras, let it flow, that samskara. At that samskara, is there like a big thorn? And that thorn has got to be thrown out. I will summarize this thing so beautifully it is. So what changes should take place in us? Patanjali is telling Yama and Niyama. What is it? From Himsa to Ahimsa. From Asatya to Satya. From stealing to non-stealing. From Parigraha, accepting gifts to non-acceptance. From body orientation to divine. Brahmacharya I translated as body orientation to God or divine orientation. This is the first part. What is the second part? From impurity to purity, saucha. Discontentment to contentment. Dependence to independence. Tapasya means what? Austerity. What is austerity? You are dependent upon something. If it is not there, you feel unhappy. Now what are you trying to do? What is tapasya? Now you become independent. Means whether it is there, whether it is not there, you are absolutely, your mind is in the same condition. Then from external to internal. All this time our focus is directed externally. Now our focus is back to the internal. Then self-centeredness to God-centeredness. This is called Sharanagati. What is Ishvara Pranidhana? What is it? Self-centeredness to God-centeredness. This is the change it should take place. How do we put it? Here is a beautiful, I have designed 10 questions. What is that? It should be a mantra for us. Every day you have to think of these 10 questions. Am I becoming less selfish? Is my desire for kama kanchana, sex and money, becoming less? Is my attachment to the world, family and friends, etc., growing less? Am I becoming more generous and charitable? Am I able to accept criticism in a better light? 5. What are the other 5? Am I longing for God more and more? Do I delight more in practicing japa, meditation, study of the scriptures and other spiritual practices? Do I enjoy being alone and focus on God? Am I acutely aware of the passing of time? Last, is my fear of old age and death getting less? 10 questions. Ask yourself every day. Oh, I am doing so much japa. So is your attachment growing less? No. Ask these 10 questions more or less. Then you become a questionable person. And if we really ask these questions and give honest answers, and slowly that helps us to find out, am I becoming more unselfish? No, I am very selfish. I am very self-centered and I am scattered. I am attached to my family, etc., etc. That means it is not a state of discouragement. It is a state of discovery of what we are. And unless we discover it, what does the doctor do when a patient goes? He just grabs some medicines and then gives it. When a patient comes, what does the doctor do? He will first find out what is the problem and then what is the appropriate medicine and medication and diet, etc. This is the normal procedure. So that is what the Patanjali is trying to do it, find out we are in an undesirable state, but we don't think we are in an undesirable state. When we really acutely become aware we are in undesirable state, then only spiritual life really starts. Until that time, it is a kind of idle curiosity or whatever. But here we are. 10 questions. Ask yourself. That is what Swami Brahmanji said. Every day before going to bed, ask yourself, how much time did I spend really, earnestly in thinking about God? How much time did I waste? Did I do something good? How much did I practice his New Year's resolutions? One man was asked, what is your this New Year's resolutions? He said, my this New Year's resolution is to practice my last year's resolution. There are wonderful sutras are coming, one or two. After that, we can skip over very fast because they are all about various types of siddhis, that is, powers, occult powers. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.